The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
People like me, Paddy, from the outside looking in, like I'd have learned way more off watching the likes of Bernard Brogan than I'd have learned off Jeremy Connolly and David Clifford, because them boys are freak shows.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.
Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Buongiorno.
Buongiorno indeed. So Italy going into this tournament on a 27 game unbeaten run. There is a real case, it feels, building that they have a right chance of winning this thing. Is that feeling replicated in Italy?
Yeah. This competition has been greeted with a lot of excitement and I'd say a sense of relief, and above all, relief at being back at the what I call the top table of world football, because you know, Italian football suffered a terrible shock when they failed to qualify for Russia 2018 World Cup, and they're just delighted to be back where they feel they belong.
What we have seen over the last couple of weeks in Italy is this fly on the wall documentary about the last year, I understand.
Yeah,
Paddy.
Yeah,
what have you learned from that?
Well, you've learned is that Mancini has done a terrific job building from the ashes of the elimination by Sweden in 2017, which Chiellini, for example, the Italian central defender, called the lowest moment in the last 50 years of Italian football. What he's done above all is he's done two really good things. He's changed the mentality of the Italian national team. Whereas before, and all of you who follow football, we recognize an Italian team as thinking above all of defending and then scoring a goal if and when the occasion arises. He's taken a much more attack-oriented attitude. And, you know, he plays a 4-3-3. He defends high up the field. He looks for his players to knock it about all the time. He's put together a squad of players who really are good on the ball. And my only question mark about them is they haven't, you know, they've qualified absolutely a clear round. They're qualifying a group 10 wins. But that was against sides like Finland, Armenia, etc. And what will it be like when they meet the bigs of European football, you know, France, Germany, Belgium, etc., etc.? That's the only question I have about them.
So that 4-3-3, that shift is very interesting. I've seen people refer to the new style of play as tiki-talia, which is quite a good phrase. Is this like a move away from Catenaccio entirely, Paddy, or is it just a reaction to the type of players he has at his disposal?
Well, it's a little bit of both, but it's much more that, you know, anybody who's old enough as I am to have seen Mancini play knows what a terrific... He was absolutely a dream player. He didn't realise all the things he should have done as a player, but he was a wonderfully talented player. And he's gone for players who are good on the ball or comfortable on the ball. Now, does that mean that his midfield, Barella, Jorginho, Locatelli, does that mean they're, tomorrow night's midfield, does that mean they're a bit lightweight? They are a bit lightweight, but they're all very comfortable on the ball. He's picked the players that can play the sort of football he wants. But what he's also done, and the documentary film you were talking about earlier illustrates this absolutely fantastically. What he's also done is he's formed a really strong sense of il gruppo. You know, the team spirit is very, very strong there. He's the atmosphere in the camp is very positive. But he's also put together his own group, and that involves Gianluca Vialli, Fausto Salzano, Attilio Lombardo, Lelli Oriali. Now, three of those guys played with him in the Sampdoria side that won the 1991 Serie A title, and Oriali was with him at Inter during the years when he won titles there. So he's put together guys that he's worked with before who he really trusts. And it's a very, very tight management unit, and the results are there. The players, you know, so far they've come into, by Italian standards, have had a polemic-free, trouble-free build-up, and they're coming into this with a lot of swagger, very bubbly, and with a lot of expectation on their shoulder.
It does seem as well that this is a personal cause for Mancini. The success of this team is almost validation of him as an Italian? Like, obviously, he's had such success at club level, as you point out there, but you also mentioned there some of his own disappointment at international level during his playing days. And I know he's described this as a second chance now, this gig.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He didn't realise what he... As a player, he won titles with Sampdoria and with... actually, it was Sampdoria, but he played very well with Lazio. But he didn't, as an international player, he didn't, for various reasons, too long to explain now, he didn't get the rub of the green in the national team, and he does see this as a second chance. He also sees this, and this again came out in that documentary we were talking about earlier. He's very, very proud, obviously. As all the players in the squads are, all of them, you know, I'm sure this is true of most of the players in Euro 2020, but it's very true of this Italian team that they're very proud, honoured and privileged to be playing for Italy. And they take their role as a representative of the nation very seriously. So, you know, important moments for Mancini are taking the players around to the cancer unit of the Children's Hospital in Rome. It's going to lay a wreath at a memorial to those who died of COVID in Bergamo. There's a whole sense that he feels and the team around him feels they're representing Italy, and in Italy that's like a lot of the rest of Europe is crawling back onto its feet with no small difficulty after the COVID pandemic.
Is that feeling mutual? Is the public now right on board with this team? Because I assume after that defeat to Sweden at the end of 2017, the public mood around this team had reached an all-time low.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah, that's absolutely bang on. He's done that. That's his great capo lavoro, frankly. He's managed to swing Italian public opinion around because people were very, very, very disappointed with what happened in 2017. And he's done it by producing a bright and interesting team. And the expectations are now on him.
Let's get stuck into some of the players that we're going to see at this year's tournament, Paddy. You mentioned some of those midfielders. It's a midfield that everybody's buzzing to watch, quite frankly. We'll start just with Marco Verratti. Are things looking good on the injury front for him? Because he's obviously going to be a key cog of that midfield.
Yeah, that's one question. One negative factor coming into this game, that Verratti's not playing in the inaugural game against Turkey. But we believe, Mancini's been in contact with him from the second he got the injury that has ruled him out of tomorrow night's game. And he and Mancini believe that he'll be ready for the second game, which is against Switzerland. The third game is against Wales. However, he's going to be replaced tomorrow night by Manuel Locatelli, Sassuolo player, who's a terrific player. And I actually think, you know, Mancini's put together a very strong squad. There are basically a replacement for everybody in every position. Locatelli is the obvious replacement for Verratti. And I think he'll do very well tomorrow night.
Locatelli, Barella, two players that I think you can pluck out and say, watch these guys, because this is potentially the international tournament where the two of them in particular arrive.
Yeah, it is absolutely. It is. Well, you may know, 19 of the 26 players in the Italian squad have never been in the finals tournament before, which is most unusual for Italy because they're always in finals tournaments. But having missed out in Russia, that's what happened. So, those two are two absolutely to look at. Barella, for example, has been a key figure, if not the key figure, in Inter's winning of the title in Italy this year. So a lot is expected of him. Another player who I really think could have a wonderful tournament, he's had a very good season, is Lorenzo Insigne, the left-sided midfielder attacker, who has had a great season with Napoli. But he's at international level. Like he was in the squad, played against Ireland in the European Championships in France in 2016. But he was only a fringe player then. He's now a key player at both Napoli and for Italy. And he's a player with immense talent. For the international team, he's only beginning to realise that he was looking very, very good in their most recent warm-up game. I would look to him for a very big tournament.
At the back then, it's a case where you might hope to see some change, or with this new Italian guard, you think to yourself, well, surely Bonucci and Chiellini can't possibly be going. Surely they retired like 10 years ago at this point. That's not the case. There's every chance they start at centre-back together tomorrow night, Paddy?
Yeah, I think they will start, but you're absolutely right. I mean, between the two of them, they're 70 years old, aren't they? So they're not going to be able to play every game. So guys like Bastoni, for example, who's had a tremendous season with Inter, again winning the title, he's likely to step in there in central defence for some games. Both guys have had injury. Both Bonucci and Chiellini have had injury problems. So he will have to be covered. But Mancini's got, you know, he's for example, he's named a Brazilian called, and he is Brazilian, but he's Italo-Brazilian, obviously, called Toloi. Again, a great league season in his case with Atalanta. He's a central defender. He's been brought in. He will recover for Chiellini and Bonucci as well. And he is a very, very good player.
One of the iconic moments, I guess, in a grim way from an Italian perspective at the end of 2017 was the scenes of not having Buffon heading to that World Cup, of his tears that night. And it was almost a sense that he'd been let down by his teammates, that we wouldn't get Buffon at the next tournament. There has obviously been a changing of the guard there, which everybody's seen for quite some time now, and Donnarumma stepping up, and this will be his first major tournament. From what you've seen over the last little while, I know that there still needs to be a sorting out of where he's going to play his club football next season, but from what you've seen, is this just going to be an automatic arrival for Donnarumma, that he will be the guy for the next 10 to 15 years?
Yes, without any doubt. He's at this point, he's actually, you know, he's had 5 years in the top flight. He's only a youngster, but, you know, despite that, he's had a lot of experience. Even though, as you say, you point out correctly, there's a certain doubt about where he's going, because he's obviously leaving AC Milan. We think he's probably going to go to Paris Saint-Germain. We don't know. He is a cool enough customer in his own way. I was listening to him talk about it yesterday, and I don't think the speculation about his future is going to upset him very much. He's going to have a future. He's a player that will be picked up, and he can concentrate and play for Italy now.
Just to go through some of the Italy fixtures then over the course of the next little while. So the group obviously is Turkey, Switzerland and Wales. So tomorrow night, obviously, at 8 o'clock, they play Turkey. And then in the second round, Italy are going to be up against Switzerland. And then they're going to conclude things against Wales in the final round of the group stages. So it's one of those groups that I think a lot of people are looking forward to watching. I think the England, Scotland, Czech Republic, Croatia group is quite an attractive one. I think this group A is, and of course, the group of death. Tomorrow night, Paddy, this Turkish challenge, I think if everybody's expecting Italy to mount, to be the dark horses when it comes to potentially winning the thing, Turkey are a lot of people's dark horses when it comes to making a mark in the knockout stages, at least. So I presume there is an acute awareness of the dangers that this Turkey team poses tomorrow night.
Well, yeah, because all you have to do is look at the form book. World Cup qualifiers, they beat Holland in spring, this year in March, and during the qualifying round, they beat France. You know, Two pretty serious scalps to have taken. So, yeah, one of my worries about Italy is simply that in the excitement that's around at the moment, that side has been lost of how potentially useful this Turkish side is. And if, you know, we all know that it's the biggest cliche of all time, but it's important to get off to a good start in a tournament like this. Indeed, a good start in anything you're doing, but this is really important here, and Turkey might spoil the eating for Italy.
Do we know what the plans are from an Italian perspective to take a knee over the course of the tournament?
No, I don't know about that. There's no comment on that from Mancini.
Like, obviously, what we've seen over the past week or so when it comes to the fans at Wembley, obviously the fans in Budapest the other night, is a fairly negative reaction to that sort of statement. What would the mood be like in Rome to such a statement?
Well, there would be no negative reaction.
Right.
And, you know, there have been plenty of Serie A games where players took the knee. But I'm not sure what we simply don't know what the Italian team decided to do.
Fair enough. Like it's always an interesting conversation when it comes to this Italian team and to race within this Italian team as well. I know myself and yourself were chatting about Mario Balotelli just a few weeks ago and him being the first black player to appear for Italy in a major tournament. I saw David Goldblatt then making the point yesterday in The Guardian that this is quite a monotone team. The Italian society and all the elements of it being represented by this team. Is there a slight disconnect at times, certainly post-Balotelli's career, between all the areas of Italian society and this football team?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. It's a very Italian Italy. And the only element of different ethnic expressions are Italo-Brazilian, really, because you have two Italo-Brazilians in Toloi and Jorginho. But there are some black players in the south. The Chelsea player Emerson, for one, but he's possibly the only one who's likely to play.
When it comes to a couple of the other people you've been keeping an eye on then over the last few months, Paddy, a lot of people have backed Romelu Lukaku to go into this tournament as a potential Golden Boot winner. What's your view on him and how explosive he can be over the next few weeks?
Well, I don't know how explosive he'll be over the next few weeks, but he's been an unending explosion all season long in Serie A. I mean, he's my player of the year in Italy this season for World Soccer, and he's to my mind, the apart from Antonio Conte, the coach, he's the single biggest reason that Inter won the title. I don't know how well he played for Everton, Manchester United in the Premiership, but here he has just taken the defences apart. He gets onto the ball, he stays up, he gets onto the ball, turns, heads for a goal, and at times nobody can seem to stop him, and he usually does enough to be then able to set up a chance for somebody.
Is that a reaction to Serie A? Is it a reaction to Lukaku himself getting his head more screwed on? What do you put that down to? Like it has been so notable, the unbelievable step up from Manchester United to Inter Milan. He looks almost like the explosiveness that we saw at Everton at times has just become a thing on a more consistent level.
Well, I don't think it's a big secret. I mean, football, we all know, if you know football, a player's not going to play well if he feels that the ambiente around him doesn't believe in him. And Conte was very keen for Lukaku, really insisted that Inter buy Lukaku. He was the most expensive player they've ever bought. And Lukaku knows inside out that Conte really wanted him there. So he felt very, he was able to very self-confident, very confident, and able to produce his best football. It's also true that Italian football is obviously in some senses, it's lost a lot of ratings. It's by comparison to the Premiership, but it still remains a very tactically disciplined and complicated football. And a number of players in the get here appreciate that, and their football gets better.
And are we starting to see a little bit more of the tiki-taka, the 4-3-3 starting to filter down at club level, or is there just an entire separation between the national team?
Well, there's no team that plays exactly like the national team, but yes, the answer is yes, we are, because there are sides like Atalanta play very, very good football, much more intense football than the average Italian team, and they take the game to the opposition all the time. Napoli, particularly when Maurizio Sarri was there, played a version of Italian tiki-taka. But those are two sides you would immediately look to because they're playing very open and attacking football by Italian standards.
So what's the temperature check here then, Paddy, ahead of this tournament? Are Italy going to kickstart this incredible run all the way to the final and win it from tomorrow night?
Well, I think it would be good for the tournament itself. I'm not sure if Italy can win this. I can't. The inexperience in the squad at this level that I mentioned earlier might tell against them in the end. And maybe they're a bit too lightweight. That could also happen. But what I would say about Italy in the tournament is, if it if it gets off to a good start for Italy tomorrow night, it'll probably be good for the tournament. To have a side like Italy, to have the, some of the home teams doing, because this is a funny tournament, there are several home teams, to have some of the home teams doing well is pretty important.
So what's your gut feeling then? Who's going to win this thing?
It's an impossibility to say, as you know, but on paper, France, Belgium and Spain look to be a lot stronger. Looked to be the three strongest sides. And then after that, you have in the second row of the grid, you have sides like Italy, maybe England, Germany, Portugal, Poland. And you might have one or two surprise outsiders like Turkey, Denmark, who knows. But I would say this. I'd say that when you get to the semifinals, you're going to have sides like that look very familiar. In other words, Italy, Germany, France, maybe one other, Portugal.
World Cup 2022 champions is what I'm hearing coming out of Italy, Paddy. That's the bottom line here this morning, I reckon. Enjoy the tournament, enjoy the games over the next couple of days. Great to chat to you.
Thank you very much.
Paddy Agnew there on the line from Italy, setting the scene ahead of tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. It is Italy against Turkey in Rome in the Olympic Stadium to kickstart Euro 2020.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.